You have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 8. As you many of you know, on the fifth Sunday, we usually go right to the message, and we've had a couple of things before, and we're going to sing some songs at the end, so be ready to sing. John chapter 8 is where I'm going to be speaking from. I wonder how many of you in recent days have thrown a rock? Has anybody thrown a rock in recent days? Some of you like to throw rocks, some of you don't care about throwing rocks, but throwing rocks is actually kind of fun at times, right? When we go on a hike as a family, sometimes there are pine cones that are found that kind of get thrown around, and I don't know if you've ever been hit by a pine cone, but sometimes those things can hurt, and hopefully my kids haven't hit me anytime soon, or I might get a little angry, and then I'll have to confess of that anger. It's just a pine cone, but sometimes we'll pick up rocks, and if we're by a lake, sometimes, you know, can we make it to the lake, and you go and see if you can hit the lake, and then see what kind of puddle it makes. If you get a larger rock, it makes a big splash. That's kind of fun, too, or there are trees, and so you got to try to hit the trees, right? And so you just throw a rock and hit trees. Maybe you, as a kid, you would go to the lake or the river or whatever it would be, and you'd try to find a flat, smooth stone. And you could see how good you could let the rock skip across the lake. Has anybody ever done it more than 8 times? You know, you've skipped more than 8? Good job. That's tough to do. Most of us, it's like, pop up, well, didn't get the right rock. Wasn't your fault, I'm assuming. If you're an Annie Griffith fan like I am, there's a young man, well, actually, he's not so young. His name was Ernest E. Bass. He liked rocks. If you've ever seen Annie Griffith show, you know that glass sometimes got in the way of his rocks. Or some of you might remember a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. And in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, I believe his name, well, I know his name is George Bailey. He and his suitoress, whatever she would be, were aiming at the old house, and he went to throw the rock at the old house. And it was hard to do because most of the windows were broken out. But the young lady, what did she do? She actually hit the glass. And what did you wish for? That was the part. I have 4 kids. Many of you know that. And a few years back, there were 3 of my kids that were outside playing. The Naya was not quite old enough to participate in this, or she would have probably participated. And my kids were, I've got permission actually to share this story, so just so you know. I asked them, can I? Yeah. They were outside and just playing, and we allow our kids play and just go do something, you know, play outside. Well, on that day, they decided that that little rock landscape garden, there was rocks there. So what should you do with rocks? You should throw the rocks. Exactly. And we live at the corner of Wisconsin and Nebraska, and the rocks happen to be right along the street there. So they thought it would be kind of fun just to throw the rocks across the street. We have cars that come up and down our street, of course. Now, I firmly believe this, and you can doubt me in this, or you can doubt my kids, but I firmly believe they were not throwing at any car. I really believe that. That's not a joke. However, I think that maybe in talking to them, they were saying we were throwing over the cars, and again, they may have been, but a lot of times I think they were waiting for the cars to go past. Now, there are some of you in the room that wouldn't be you. You actually would have been trying to hit the car, but we won't haul you up front, okay? We won't do that. But I firmly believe my kids, they were like, well, we're just throwing rocks. And they'd wait for a car to pass, and then they'd throw another one. In our neighborhood, the mayor actually lives in our neighborhood. And at that point in time, he was not the mayor. I'm pretty sure he was the chief of police at that point in time. But he didn't drive by, which is good. But we had another, I would call him kind of a gruff police officer. He wasn't in his police car, but he was coming home from work, and he still had his police uniform on. So he proceeded to and get over and tell my 3 children that they probably shouldn't be doing that. And he proceeded to go to the door and tell Manel that my kids shouldn't be doing that either. And so they put the rocks down for the day. Today, the text talks about stones. But the individuals that had the rocks in this story were not merely ready to throw a rock across the street and throw over a car. They weren't really planning to skip a rock across the lake. These rocks were brought with the intent to kill. Not just harm, but to kill. That's befuddling, and I hope you can jump into the story. I hope you can jump into the text for just a couple of moments, because I don't believe there's anybody in here that is going to carry a rock in your pocket ready to kill someone. This is not just who you are, I don't think. So you have to jump into this text and understand. But it was called stoning. They were planning to stone someone to death. This is serious business. And who's right in the middle of all this? Jesus is. One of the questions I have for you today is, do you and I have a stone in our hands? If you would join me reading God's word, I'm going to start in John chapter, actually it picks up in chapter 7, verse 53, and then it goes through John chapter 8, verse 11. They went to each his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery." Some versions say, "have been caught in the very act of adultery." "Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who was without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." A very familiar passage of Scripture, and I hope that you'll catch a couple of things from the text today. The first thing I want you to see is Jesus was at the temple teaching. Jesus was at the temple teaching. This was important. It's an interesting place for this event to happen, in the temple itself. Jesus is on his own grounds. What's going to take place during this time? Now, I need to give you some background to the text, so stay with me for just a moment. If you look into the ESV, and if you look into the Bible in the chair rack in front of you, you'll notice at the top of the page it says this: "The earliest manuscripts do not include 753 to 811. Now, you may be wondering, what does this mean? I think everybody here understands that, especially the Gideons understand this, that the Bible didn't just drop out of heaven like this. Here it is. It did not come to us like this. It was written by men over a number of years, and then they were decided upon what should be in the Bible, and this is what we have for God's word. It was written by pen. If the Bible was written today, it wouldn't be written by pen, probably. It would probably be written by a computer screen, is probably with spell check. They didn't have spell check at that point in time. It was God-breathed and given to men to write down. They also, at that point in time, didn't have the best paper like we would have. It was probably the best they had at the time, and it was called papyri. It was on papyrus is what it was. We actually have several of those, and maybe you're familiar with the Dead Sea Scrolls. If you're not, look that up online after you go home and find out about the Dead Sea Scrolls. But we have papyri, and they're also called uncials.
Yuncils were probably written on parchment or vellum, and several yuncils have been recovered in excavation. One of the most famous yuncils you might be aware of is the Sinaiticus. I'm giving you some information. Maybe you know, maybe you don't know. And it includes most of the New Testament, and it's dated from the 4th century. That's important for us. It's not just where did this come from. We actually have this from the 4th century. We also have what they would refer to as minuscules, but those are mostly from the 9th to 11th century and later. So we don't have all of the Bible together in one writing like this. They have brought them all together. And so there's many called the papyri that are identified. If you look in any of this version stuff, you'll see that they're just lettered by the number P or the letter P, and then they give a number to it. So because of that, there is a P66 in the late 2nd century, and P75, dated around 200, and P39, that's dated around the 3rd century, that has John in it. But those three P's don't include this part of John chapter 8. The first appearance of this part of the text is in the uncial called D and is dated 400 AD. Now, some would say this was not originally included by John the writer, but added later by scholars. Some would ask if this would really happen or not. And some of the vocabulary that's in this part of John in the Greek, they would say would be different than the rest of the wordage, the verbiage in John itself. However, I believe that this very well could have happened, and I want to highlight a few things that we can learn from it. And if you go into the very back of John chapter 21, here's what it says in verse 25. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. You needed to have some of that clarification because you're like, well, what does this mean? The earliest manuscripts do not include. If you have more questions on that, feel free to come to me. Now let's go on with the story, if that's okay with you. A lady was brought in. There are many questions when I start thinking about a lady being brought in, caught in the very act of adultery. One of those, where's the guy? I'll say it in this way, it takes two to tango. Where's the guy? Why is the lady brought in? I am assuming also at this point in time, number two, that this lady is not well clothed. If I may say this, nowadays, women, not necessarily anybody here, but women all over our society are scantily clothed. It's no big deal. All over our electronic gadgets and our laptops. Not then. Very shameful. So here comes a lady who's caught in an act that's wrong, that is probably not clothed very well. This creates quite an awkward scene. That would be very awkward if it happened here on a Sunday morning. If all of a sudden somebody came, brought somebody in like this, and there might be a little bit of sweat coming from my collar if that was to happen, of how I'm going to deal with this. Third thought. Why are the scribes and the Pharisees bringing her in? Another thought, was this a setup? And did someone get paid? Another thought would be, was there a scribe actually involved? Heaven forbid. Another thought, how far will men and women go to test Jesus? I guess that's pretty far. Another thought, was her husband around? Where was he? What about her parents? What about his parents? We don't know exactly, but we do know this. A lady was brought in, and everybody's heightened. Number three, the question is asked. What do you say, Jesus? What are you going to do with this one? Ha ha, we got you now. What? Come on, come on, we got her. What does the law say? They came with rocks ready to kill because Jesus has to respond to this terrible act. What did the scribes and the Pharisees believe? In Leviticus 20, if two were found that they were committing sinful acts outside of a marital vow, they were to be killed. That's pretty extreme. Some of us in this room are maybe possibly very thankful that that didn't happen to us, right? Continues to happen in our society, this committing of adultery, actually. Some of us will say, what a mean God that he would do this. But I think what is being communicated is God wants us to be holy. There is a standard that is set for us. We don't serve a mean God. We serve a holy God who's saying, will you serve me with all of who you are, every part of who you are? But what happens? Jesus turns a deaf ear. Doesn't even listen. They ask, what are you going to do, Jesus? And Jesus does this. He gets down on the ground. You probably, if you've ever seen a movie about it, and he starts writing. Now, he's not writing with a pen, we believe. He doesn't have a piece of parchment out and writing on it. We're believing it was the dirt, and he's writing in the dirt. That's kind of a strange response, isn't it? No, we want an answer right now. But he turns a deaf ear. You may have thought, well, what's he writing? What is he actually writing? Maybe he was writing Bible verses. Maybe he was writing the names of the men that were there. Maybe he was writing sins on the ground. Maybe he was just sketching, buying some time. I doubt that's the case, but maybe he was just drawing some pictures of some kind. Maybe he was bending down and not locking his eyes because of the lack of the clothing that probably would have been present. But he didn't answer. And so the leaders pressed him again. They're like, what are you going to do? Come on. What are you going to do? Have you ever been impatient with Jesus? What are you going to do, God? I think I've asked you for this like a lot of times, million. I've stopped counting. And we pressure Jesus. And Jesus just kind of takes his time. And then, have you ever been waiting for Jesus? And then he answers in a way that you're not expecting him to? No, you weren't supposed to answer that way. That was the wrong answer. I was expecting this, and I really want to go after my brother-in-law. Come on, God. I mean, do you know what he said about me? I do have a couple brother-in-laws. I don't want to go after them. I'm just using an illustration. Please hear me. But I really want to go after my brother-in-law. And God says, love your brother-in-law. I really want to go after my wife. I'll tell her, not with a stone per se, but let me give a stone of my lip. I can do this pretty good. And God says, drop it. He says this, he who is without sin cast the first stone. What? That's not what they were looking for. They were doing this. They were like, All right, I'm ready to go. Billy, are you going to get her in the head or do I get her in the head? Are you going to hit her in the midsection? Where do you get to hit her at? They were sizing her up, ready with the stones. Their bags were filled with rocks ready to throw. But now the leaders couldn't do anything. Jesus had him. They knew they had to do this. They knew they had to drop the stone because they had sin in their life. Who dropped them first? The oldest ones. I was meeting with a guy actually yesterday around my age. Well, he is my age. He's a couple years older than me. A guy that I respect. And we were talking about counseling and godly counsel. And he said this to me. He said, I don't usually listen to much from guys around my age. I listen to those guys who are older. Why? Not all the time is there godly counsel in older men and women. That's not all the time true. But there's something about some of you that are older in our midst that when we come to you and we say, what about this? You actually ponder and you pause. You might even ask a question. And then you give us an answer. Those of you who are older than someone else in this room, and most of you are, you provide godly counsel, kind of like these men who were scribes and Pharisees who were the older ones and are like, okay, I've got to drop my stone. If you are older, keep pursuing righteousness and keep leading those of us who are younger. And if you're younger, trust in those who are older. They're not stuck in the mud. They're not unmovable. They have a wisdom that we haven't received yet. Trust them. Follow them. Listen to them. It's what the scribes did. And so one by one, the stone's dropped. I'm assuming it's on dirt, and so probably didn't make that much noise. But maybe it did. Maybe in the silence, as everybody was keyed in, maybe the rocks hitting the ground are like, ah. Jesus, during all of this, he's just still on the ground. I wonder how long it took. Half an hour? An hour? 15 minutes? I doubt they were out in five. And then he rises and he proclaims truth. Women? Or woman, not women. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? I'm assuming she was maybe on the ground. She probably didn't look up at Jesus. But I'm assuming she said, no one, Lord. Kind of in a downcast way. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, is Jesus saying that committing adultery is okay? No way. If you leave this morning and think, that's not it. He doesn't think it right. But he also shows us that we shouldn't think we are better than someone else, even when they are caught in their sin. You ever been caught in a lie? Those are some awkward moments, aren't they? Oh no, now what do I say? Ever been caught in an act? You ever been caught in something? Think of this lady. She had to pick up from here. But he tells her, go and sin no more. A couple things I want to point out from this passage. Number one, don't go around trying to seek people's sins. Monday, I get to carry a rock somewhere. I get to look for someone. Most of you aren't like that at all. But you know what? Sometimes the enemy brings something to our mind and we look for somebody's sin and we look to nail them to the wall. Just wait till I get them. This is a great time. Drop the stone. Second thing I want you to see is this. Don't go around throwing stones at people. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be careful, and we definitely should point people to Jesus, but it isn't our job to throw stones. Have you ever had in recent days, I can't wait to talk to him or her, tell them what is up. Put down your stone. And if you've thrown a stone at someone else's sin in recent days,
Go ask for forgiveness. Third thing I want you to see is this. Jesus, in the midst of your trials, is with you just like he was with this lady. He didn't say, send her out of here. Get rid of her. He stayed right beside her when everybody was coming against her. And finally, and I hope you hear this point, go and sin no more. We are individuals who are called to live holy lives. That's what the scripture says. And it says, go and sin no more. The only way that we can do that is with God's power living within us. He didn't tell the lady to keep doing the act. He said, stop. So maybe there's a sin that you need to say, I need to stop doing. Maybe this one that this lady was involved in, maybe there's another. Maybe on March 31 of 2019, you can say, I'm going to not sin in that way anymore because Jesus has called me not to do that. Jesus does not condemn, but he sets free. Lord Jesus, thank you for this passage. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. May we apply it to our hearts and our lives. May you help us not to throw stones, and may we go and sin no more. In Jesus' name, amen.